Nope, this is not the Yolk Foundation on this podcast, but this is the Get Snap Podcast. It is your boy, Darnell Sparrow. And on the other side is the man who should be getting royalties because he got a song that one of my favorites made just for him. I'm talking about Antoine S-M-O-O-T-H, the smooth operator himself. Brother, were you even born in 1984?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was born in 80, so yeah.
Okay, so you're a little young smooth. She already saw the smoothness coming out. So she wrote that for you. You should be getting royalties. Sade, I love you, but is this man his money?
Yeah, come on, Sade, now. Come on, baby girl. You know you get to me.
But again, this is Get Snap Podcast, and yes, we are early. Want to know why? Because it's football season. The game is on. I got the game on right now as we're doing this. I'm glad football going on. I wouldn't care if we had a fan or 50,000 fans. We get to see some football. I know you a Titans man. I'm a Saints man. I'm just ready. Are you ready for some football?
Man, I am definitely ready for some football because we got us a game Monday night against the Broncos. And with the signing of Jadeveon Clowney, man, that is huge for us because we definitely need a pass rusher.
Yes,
definitely.
As my team, we got Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday afternoon, which I would have been there if we didn't have all these issues, but we're going to watch it. We're not talking football. We talking pro wrestling because that's what we do here on the Get Snap Podcast. And it is that time. You know,
what's
it's
the
one
topic,
of my favorite,
Darnell?
It's Q&A time. It's Q&A time. Again, y'all ask the questions. We give the answers. But before I start, I want to make an announcement. For those that don't know who haven't heard, the voice of TNA, Barry Scott, that iconic voice y'all used to hear, back in the NWA, in those TNA days, well, he passed away today. He passed away. I said, if you don't remember who I'm talking about, go back to those pay-per-view vignettes, that strong voice. You thought that was James Earl Jones for a minute? But yes, Barry Scott, like we call him the voice. We didn't know what he looked like for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was born 1955. He passed on today. So my condolences, our condolences to the Scott family. May he definitely rest in peace. You need to go in the Impact Hall of Fame immediately. Definitely.
Yes, right now. Exactly.
Let's see what else is going on before we start here. I know USA Championship Wrestling actually has a show going on. Actually, if you're not there, you're late because it actually started at 7 o'clock. And one of our very own, someone you know and I know very well, we talked about him. He's actually going to be at the Jerry Lawler 50th anniversary, September 26th, ballpark in Jackson, Tennessee. Our guy, Derek King, Mr. Derek By God Greater and Great, is in the main event. He will be going one-on-one with Big Gravy. And that's at Studio 45 Broadview Street in Jackson, Tennessee. The seats are $10. Let's see what we got else going on that card. Also, we got Dancing Charlie versus Mike Mayo. We got Double D Danny Dollar against the big man Brandon White. We have the Essentials against Addison Kane and Flawless Jake Lawless. We got Matt Starr going up against Andy Mack. And like I said, Big Gravy, Derek King in the main event. I mean, like I said, USA Championship Wrestling, they have Thursday night shows, $10. You have the Saturday shows, those are $15. Studio 45, you want to get you some good wrestling, definitely need to be there. And like I said, the Jerry Lawler 50th anniversary, September 26th, 7:30 bell time. I'm definitely excited about that one. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely excited to see that. It's a who's who of names that's going to be coming down there to the ballpark. Man, it's going to be exciting.
Yes, and you do have to pay for parking. Parking is $10. It's a ball field. They got to make their money, too. But if you're not at this, I'm pulling your wrestling card. I know some people may not have worked and no circumstance, but if you are a wrestling fan, you need to be there. Like I say, all the ground at the bottom field, they're all sold out, but those went like hotcakes. So general admission is $25. I believe they still have tickets left for the meet and greet with Kane, which will be at Studio 45 before the event. I believe that's $100, but you'll have Kane all to yourself. Which Kane, we don't know. But that is a big opportunity for a lot of wrestling fans. Like I say, he is the mayor, so we don't know. We're going to get Mayor Glenn, or we're going to get the Big Red Machine, Cobra Kane, Isaac Yankum. Don't matter. I just wish that he was in that main event in that Thunder Cage. But with all these people that's going to be there, you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
But let's get into it. Like I said,
all right, let's go.
These are one of my favorite shows because we get to get the aspect of the fans. We get to know what's on the fans' mind. But we're going to get into it. We're going to take it old school.
But okay.
First question. Did you have an issue with Buddy Landell, great wrestler, by the way, calling him the Nature Boy?
Oh, you know what? Not really, because he was supposed to be from rumors past that he was supposed to be the protege of Ric Flair. You know, he's supposed to be the next Ric Flair, but I mean, who's going to be the next Ric Flair? There's only one Ric Flair, right, and there's only one Nature Boy. You know, so I didn't have a problem with it because, you know, there's other people that are Nature Boys, you know, like your boy, the Black Nature Boy,
Scoot Andrews,
with Scoot Andrews,
even you know, in the Memphis area, Nature Boy, Captain White.
That's right.
Came out the
original. That's right. And then, of course, the original Nature Boy, Buddy Rogers.
Right. No, and I didn't have an issue with it neither. Like I said, he was managed by J.J. Dillon.
Right.
At one time, he was the national heavyweight champion. I mean, he played the part. He had the look. Great heel. I could see if he was like a scrub version of him.
Right.
But he fit the role for it. So, no. That was neat. That was an easy one right there. Let's take it to the present. Now, the people want to know, even in 2020, is Goldberg overrated?
That's a tough question there. Now I'm gonna say this, okay? If you go back to WCW, his early WCW, he had a moveset, but the movesets look good. You know what I mean? You know, he had the power slams and the suplexes and the spears and all that, and it actually looked good. It looked impressive. You know, right? He wasn't the best worker in the world. I give it that. But for his skill set, yeah, it worked. So, no, I don't think he's overrated.
I mean, I wouldn't say Goldberg was overrated. No, underrated. Goldberg, like you said, at that time, he came in at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
His hype was perfect. They needed him, especially once the NWO got kicked off. Like I said, when he came in, when he beat Hugh Morris,
mm-hmm.
then he had the feud with Mongo, took the Super Bowl ring. I mean, it was on. I mean,
right.
I like I said, he wasn't over. Then when he got to WWE, I think they watered him down a lot.
And yeah, I agree with
you. We know why. They watered him down. And like I said, when he recently came back, we know why he came back.
Mm-hmm. He did this for his son.
Right, did for his son, won the championship. And they knew Goldberg, even at his age, even now, can draw money.
Yep. That Brock Lesnar-esque type of a guy, right? With far drawing money, he's like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, so I definitely wouldn't say no. He was overrated, underrated. He was just good hype,
right?
Now I just bought this up, you know, while we was hyping, we talked about the Jerry Lawler show, but somebody did ask, would you prefer a different main event for the 50th anniversary show? Now, for those who don't know, the main event is a six-man. We have the lover boy, Matt Riviera. We have the dangerous one, Doug Gilbert. And we have Wi-Fi Tommy Rich going up against the Rock and Roll Express, and Jerry the King Lawler with Jimmy Hart, Thundercage. If you ever seen the Thundercage, like I said, they've had a few Thundercage matches. Lawler was in the last one that I saw with Matt Riviera. So they have a hell of a feud going on. I don't have an issue with it. Like I said, the only thing I would have, if I had to suggest, I would have liked to seen Kane in the main event in some aspect. But other than that, no, kind of like I don't have an issue with it.
That kind of an enforcer type?
Maybe an enforcer, or maybe had a one-on-one.
Okay.
But now, like I said, as far as the main event itself, you got six legends. I mean, I see Matt Riviera is going to be a legend when it's his time. I mean, if you haven't seen this guy, you talk about bona fide heel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he comes out in cars. He has the women. I mean, he is who he is. Not well liked. He does not like Jerry Lawler. He's been, like I said, been feuding with him for years.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't have an issue with it from that point. Like I said, if I had to change it, I would have put Kane in. What do you think?
Yeah, same thing. I have no issue with the match. Kane could be in some capacity, maybe referee. You know, I see him as a ref. If not, they couldn't change it. I would make him referee.
Make them that outside enforcer.
That outside enforcer. Yeah, to make sure nobody interferes, you know. So, yeah, I have no problem with it.
Oh, not at all. That's an easy one. Now, here's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Best wrestling game ever.
Oh, gosh. Really? We're going to be all night.
That's the best wrestling game ever. Me, with no doubt, WWF WrestleFest. I have a game system that has a bunch of games from USA and Japan. It has WrestleFest on there. And Superstars on there, too. I can play WrestleFest all day, every day. And my team was either the Million Dollar Man, Mr. Perfect, or the Million Dollar Man, or Jake the Snake Roberts. What about you? I mean, they had so many. Some was kind of crappy. So many.
Some was crappy. Yeah.
But like I said, yeah, WrestleFest was my all-time favorite.
Yeah, man. I love WrestleFest. I'm with you on that. Now, I had Demolition. I love working with them. But if my team was Hogan and Warrior or Mr. Perfect in the Million Dollar Man.
Now, see, this is what kind of irritated me about that game. Where was Savage?
Yeah, Savage was, this was around the time that the Warrior and him had their retirement match. But Savage should have been on there.
Right. That would definitely have been on there. Let's see, what could be the close second? Would you say either WrestleMania 2000 or No Mercy or WCW NWO Revenge?
I say No Mercy because I know my cousin, he loves it. My other cousin love it. And I know I got my little cousin, he likes it. I got him playing it, and he's starting to like it already.
Right.
So, yeah, they love it. I think No Mercy.
Well, I'm gonna throw a little wrench in this question. We talking about the best. What's the worst? Would you say WrestleMania?
WrestleMania 2000.
What did you say is the worst? Now I'm talking about the original WrestleMania with Hulk Hogan on the cover for the Nintendo.
The Nintendo. Yes. Okay. I thought you were talking about WrestleMania 2001 on 64.
No.
WrestleMania on Nintendo, no doubt about it. That was terrible.
And like I said, they were trying to hype it, but you couldn't do nothing on that game.
Mm-mm. Another one too. Steel Cage Challenge.
Oh yes, yeah. That was pretty bad. I mean, some people might say World Championship Wrestling was bad, but I actually disagree. I actually enjoyed it. It just takes forever to beat. And then I figure out the easiest way to beat the WCW master. I said, you can't put moves on him, so you have to do running moves. Cause I think I beat it the first time with the Royal Warrior Animal. Just kept doing shoulder blocks. Just running shoulder tackles, knocking him off his feet. And see, a lot of the games we're talking about, I still own. And I still play them every now and then.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I still got them. I'm classic. Now, this one, I thought was interesting. I'm saying, I was around this time. You followed it. But what were your thoughts on Lex Luger turning heel in 1991 and getting Harley Race as a manager?
That was, you know what? That was something different because, you know, they had Luger as the baby face. You know, everybody liked Lex Luger. But then he also was heel too before then, back in, what, the late 80s, when he was U.S. champion, around his U.S. championship run, his second run as U.S. champion.
Right.
But, yeah, becoming WCW champ with Harley Race when he turned heel, that was interesting because, Luger, what he need a bodyguard for? Luger, right. His own bodyguard, you know? This right. Dude is 6'5", 275, and you got big Mr. Hughes with him, you know? That's crazy. Then you had the Harley Race, you know, which I understand, you know, Harley Race being the manager, why not, you know?
Let me tell you something. That's crazy. Harley Race made Luger look real good. And Luger, if you notice, at that time, Luger was getting bigger. Luger was
– He was about 286.
He was getting close to – I know when he fought Simmons, he was what, about 295? Give or take.
About 295. Yeah.
Luger was bad boy, but I loved it. I said, like I said, Harley Race made him look real good. Then he added the power driver, the attitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's funny he lost the Sting with Super Brawl 2.
Super Brawl 2. Uh-huh.
I would have loved it.
WWE. Yeah.
I would have loved it if Ron Simmons would have beat him at Halloween Havoc. But they had us convinced at that time.
Yeah, they did. Because, first of all, they had the hype. You know, they had him at Florida State, you know, talking to Bobby Bowden and had him running up the stairs. And, you know, he was just getting prepared. Then all of a sudden, he lost like that.
I mean, he lost two out of three falls. But like I said, nigga, he had Dustin in the corner, made him look good. But let's stay on Luger for a second.
Okay.
When Luger went to WWF at the time, you know, he came in as the Narcissist. Then he flipped to being made in the USA. You know, I guess he was going to be their version of Hogan. Did you like the Made in the USA version of the Narcissist?
Pretty much, I liked the Narcissist gimmick because
that's
if
him.
You notice, you know, he would. That's him, exactly. That's him. So yeah, that was a perfect fit. Now that Made in the USA, I understand at the time, you know, Yokozuna, you know, he was the top heel at the time, the foreign heel, you know.
Right.
So they had to have a protagonist to go against him. So what better way to do that than to have Lex Luger? You know, he pretty much can go toe-to-toe with him, you know.
Right. Like I said, he made it work.
He and did.
I said, I would have preferred him have a championship of sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, not necessarily, you know, the W championship. No, he could have had the IC or even a tag when he got with Bulldog and they're doing the Allied Powers thing. But I think he understood that when he got there. I mean, he made it work. So I get credit for that, but Luger to me is a bona fide heel, especially when we get to those moves. Just like when he was just a total package, when he had Elizabeth with him, I said that was him.
Yeah,
but this is a funny one, and I was waiting for somebody to ask this. I'm surprised they're just asking this now. But what are your thoughts on Steve Austin when he was doing the what?
I thought that was a little bit weird, you know, but and you know, to this day, people are still saying it. It just caught on like wildfire, you know, no pun intended.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, I was like, what is he doing? I like, this is weird. This ain't of Austin, dude. I'm like, why he going what? You know, but it caught on and it worked.
Oh, you know, did it ever? Especially when he was like just heel Alliance Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
he was just annoying. Yeah. Like a little kid.
But that's what made it work. I mean, just think about it. no matter where you go, anytime somebody talk, you hear that what? I wonder what he thinks about it. I'm like, is he tired of it?
I think he is. I think it's now played out. You know, it's been played out. But I think he mentioned that before. He said, I think he getting tired of it, and some of the wrestlers getting tired of it, like Alexa Bliss. She mentioned that when she was cutting her promo, she was really upset, you know. Like, would y'all be quiet? I'm talking. She was really upset, you know. That wasn't no gimmick she was doing.
What?
So.
What?
I'm saying nothing. You're not even came on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Did you say something? What?
No, I said we didn't say nothing.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, he just, I think the what is everywhere. Next question we got. Mm-hmm. Best wrestling talk show. Now, this was hard for me. But if I had to choose, and it was hard, but I had to say my favorite talk show to me, the best talk show to me, was Brother Love.
Okay, that works. That works. Brother Love was, man, he was, you know, he was always on the heel side no matter what.
I had $1 Million Man as his benefactor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Had all them rings on his fingers. Talking about they were gifts from the $1 Million Man. Yeah, it was, man.
I like Jimmy Swagger. Oh.
Yeah. But I think for me, I think Brother Love is good. Don't get me wrong. But I also think Piper's Pit was one.
Yeah, Piper's Pit was good. Now, you say more... More of the earlier of the early Piper's Pit, or the more of the current versions,
the early versions of Piper's Pit, the one where Jimmy Snuka got hit in the head with the coconut.
Yeah,
it was those. The Snake Pit was pretty good. That could have worked out a little more. I wish it would have ran a little longer, you know, with Jake the Snake.
Right. Now, see, didn't anybody come in a close second? I would have to say, if I had to do a close second, ooh, that's hard. I would say the Cutting Edge.
Yeah. Cutting Edge was pretty good.
And Cutting Edge, the highlight reel. No, nope, I'm going to give it to the highlight reel. I'm going to give it a close second to the highlight reel. Because Chris Jericho, heel up face, knew how to say it all. So I'll give it to the highlight reel. So,
okay.
Next one, we're going to take it to the NWA. And they're talking about the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis.
The national treasure,
the Nick national Aldis. Treasure himself. Is he a worthy NWA Heavyweight Champion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he carries that belt like those old school guys used to. Like the Dory Funks and the Harley Races and Ric Flair, you know, he reminds me a lot of them as far as holding honor to that title. He's really doing it.
And I'm glad you said that, because to me, if I had to revamp the Four Horsemen, he would definitely be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He would definitely be one. But yeah, he carries it well. You know, he calls it Sweet Charlotte, and I definitely agree. He does make the title great again. Yes, I went there. Like I say, with the look, the attitude. So you don't know if he's going to be a good guy or a bad guy. He's just being himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely making it work. I can't wait. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I want to see ever going to show up in AEW again. I mean, we're seeing the NWA Women's Champion. Hell, I want to see the Tag Champions. I want to see James Stone, Eli Drake against FTR. I want to see now that.
You being biased now, see? You being biased. I already know why you want to see that. Because your boy Eli Drake, you know, Eli Drake.
I know that too, but I know he will be wanting to hype it up. And if James Storm, if he do the more, James, the way he been drinking, that'll be that match alone is worth watching.
Yeah, you're right. That's
all. You know, he'll probably shut Tully down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely a match we definitely got to see. But back on Nick Aldis, yeah, he's definitely worthy of being the NWA champion. It's been a long time since we had a solid champion. I mean, they've had so many. They've had guys that carried it multiple times. The guys, if you go back, like, damn, really? He was champion?
Right.
I'll give you an example.
Like, R-Truth. R-Truth is one.
Time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. You got Rob Conway, when he was Iron Man Rob Conway. Like Chris Candido.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that were, but a lot of them, like I say, even Cody got a little piece of it.
Blue Demon.
It would have been nice if Cody had a longer reign.
Yeah, he should have.
Like I said, we knew what that was all about. But yeah, I said whoever beats him, I mean, they really gonna have to be on top of their game to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now we about to take it back old school. You know, someone asks, why do you think Mr. Perfect never won the WWE Championship?
Why he never won it?
Why he never won a WWE championship?
And that's a complicated question. I even myself asking that. I mean, the dude could talk, he could wrestle, he had the look. You know, why not him become a champion? But once again, like you said in the previous podcast, there were too many, like the Hogans and the Warriors and stuff around, and Savages. You know, there were too many of those big names was around.
And they got.
And I think that's probably what it is.
And people got to remember, he was the AWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
He can go. I mean, he made the IC title look good. I mean, that belt looked good on him.
It did. It was made for him. Looked like.
I'm saying it looked good on him. I thought he should have been. To me, he should have been the longest IC champion. No disrespect to Honky. I thought Mr. Perfect should have been the longest IC champion. He would have been dominant. And all the feuds he had with Hogan, if you remember Saturday night's main event, when he broke it, he literally shredded the WWE championship.
Took a hammer and just hammered it. Yeah.
With him and the Genius.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, around that time, I think it was just too many names. And Bobby Heenan, guys, was not winning big championships like that.
Mm-mm.
I said the IC was the closest. He had the tag belt, but he didn't really have that deal. I mean, Andre, quote unquote, won it.
Yeah,
like I said, that wasn't under Bobby's watch though, because he was doing the thing with the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah,
but he should have been
paying for his services. Yeah,
right, he should have been champion.
All
right, we got another one here. Now this one might get a little on the personal side, not necessarily for us. It's just the name when you hear it. But one of our original acts, should David Benoit, who is the son of Chris Benoit, should he get a shot in any major promotion?
I mean, I think he should. I mean, he shouldn't let his father's name deter him. If he wants to do it, I have no problem with it. But there was, you know, saying that he may be blackballed because of that. And I don't think he should. If he really wants to do it, I have no problem with it. He can go ahead and do it, you know. But he need to have somebody with him to guide him. Like Chris Jericho, I think he's doing that. Like Chris Jericho, he's guiding him right now, you know. So, yeah, I have no problem with him doing it.
Well, I don't either, but like you said, the thing about it is they're going to blackball him because of his name. So what he needs to do, he needs to just earn it. Go hit these small indie promotions. Go hit these small indie promotions. Get them name. Get your name out there and show them that, Chris Benoit, yeah, that was my father. Yeah, he did some foul crap, but don't look at me as him.
Right.
I mean, because I'm pretty sure all he's asking for, you know, is an opportunity. And I know it's hard for him. And I think if he gets that chance, if he gets trained well, he may not be the biggest name. They probably wouldn't even push him to the moon no matter how good he is.
Right.
Like I said, I mean, he should at least get the chance to go out there. And if he does great and does well, great. But if he has a David Flair type career, even though David Flair was a U.S. and tag team champion, but
yeah,
wasn't in no sense, a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk about Chris Benoit wrestling wise, I mean, he was one of the smoothest. Everything about Chris Benoit wrestling wise, you would want to learn from him.
Right.
I mean, pound for pound, to me, he was one of the best wrestlers out there. So, if he does get that chance, but I mean, it's really gonna be hard.
Yeah, it's gonna be an uphill battle, no doubt.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with, I don't know how much you know about MLW, but someone asked, "What are our thoughts on Jacob Fatu being the MLW World Heavyweight Champion?" Let me jump on this one. One, he's been champion for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, yes, he is member of that Samoan dynasty. Rikishi is his uncle, and Tama is his father.
That's right, he is. Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, I believe he's 6'3", maybe like 285, give or take. Big boy. Yeah. But he can move in that ring. He's part of the country unit of faction up there, MLW. I mean, he is an awesome champion. I mean, this dude, I mean, you look at him, it's kind of like, I'll put him in that Keith Lee perspective, the moves he does for the size that he is. Right. I mean, he's a bad boy. And I say, we talk about, you know, people representing championships. He's definitely representing the MLW championship well. He just had some great matches with guys being him smaller than him, and he's looked good doing it.
Right. So he's been getting big praise from what I'm hearing. I haven't seen him yet, but I've heard good things about him.
I mean, definitely look him up. Look at the type of MLW. They have a lot of shows. You know, they did a lot of shows on YouTube, on the MLW page. I mean, you just type up Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
I'll let the rest tell itself. But again, this is the Get That Podcast. We answering the questions you guys want to know. And as you can see, we did it early. It's football season, so we're getting ready to watch the games. But we want to get all these questions out the way because you asked them. And we like talking about these questions because, I mean, the questions are great. So we're going to continue.
But I'm going to say this here. Before you go to the next question, I got a question for you.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Marshall and Ross Von Erich?
What are my thoughts? No, that's actually a good question. You know, and I look at them, and by the way, they're the MLW Tag Team Champions, by the way. You know, and I look at them, I see Kevin in them. One of them actually wrestles barefoot. I definitely see Kevin Von Erich. That's his kids. They are Von Erichs. I mean, they dress like Cowboy with the Texas hat, but they represent Hawaii. They're from Hawaii.
No.
But the thing about the Von Erichs, they're in the place where I think that fits them. It'll be hard because I think they did some Impact shows a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't see them really – I don't think they're ready to go further as far as, like, going to, like, the WWE or maybe AEW. I don't think they could have that drum part like the original Von Erichs did, like that whole family. Right. And if that's the case, Kevin will definitely have to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they're great talents. Don't get me wrong. But I think MLW and the storyline that they're going through now definitely works for them. What about you?
Well, same here. I've seen them work before. I mean, you can clearly tell they're Von Erichs, you know. It's self-explanatory. They work like their uncles, Kerry, especially with Kerry. The kid, you know, they got the build. You know, them some big boys.
Yeah,
them two there.
Yeah, they tell and they feel. They use the claw. Like I said, one of them came up with one. It wrestles barefoot like his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, they fulfilling the dynasty very well. But like I said, I think they still need to get out more, get a little bit more, them, a little more of that seasoning if they want to go, you know, bigger than where they at. But I go on to the next question. This is more your question. You know, you a Tennessee guy, and you follow this a whole lot more than I have. I say I follow them, but you know more. Would you like to see Smoky Mountain come back?
Ooh wee. Now, you know Smoky Mountain was controversial at the time. Especially with the gangsters being there. Yeah. Right. Now, if Smoky Mountain were to come back, I would like to see it. But the thing is, you know, the people are kind of sensitive nowadays. Right. You know, anything. Because they couldn't get away. You can't get away what you did now, what you did back then. You know, you can't get away with that now. Imagine if Smoky Mountain today, you hear New Jack talking about all that stuff he was talking about. Him and Mustafa Saeed was talking about back then.
Right.
About the O.J. Simpson, talking about the, you know, one less person in the world to worry about. Keep up the good work. You can't say that now.
Nope, not at all.
I would like to see it, but then again, you know, the folks is too sensitive, you know. So.
Nah, I would like to see it, but only if this happens. I would like to see Smoky Mountain if Jim Cornette runs it. That's it.
Oh, you definitely gonna run it, no doubt about it.
That is the only way I would see it, because I enjoy Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain, like I said, they brought a lot of WWF guys in too.
Yeah.
And they had some great Smoky Mountain champions. And then when we talked about the world heavyweight champions, I know it wasn't a quote unquote world heavyweight champion. I remember like the late, and I'm gonna say great, Dirty White Boy.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I mean, he was a great champion. I mean, Jake the Snake was a great champion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just two right off the bat that I'm naming. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that'd be the only way, because I know, because we all know Jim Cornette is old school. And
yes,
he'll keep it old school, and that's what, if you look at the NWA now, the NWA kept it old school, which I love it. I love the studio.
Yeah, I loved it.
I love how they use the old school NWA ring. I love how they brought back the old school titles.
Right. The stage. Does the stage look old school?
Right. I mean, that works. Like I said, I mean, if somebody like for example, OVW, Al Snow owns there, but he kept it. Mm-hmm. He kept OVW-ish. He didn't really do a lot of modifications to it. He just kept it and let them boys continue to do their thing. So, but as far as from a Smoky Mountain standpoint, that's the only way I think it'll work if Jim Cornette is running it.
Yeah, no doubt about that, because that's his baby, you know.
Now we're getting into some current news, some current stuff that happened. And I got two back-to-back questions that happened from Monday Night Raw this past Monday. So we're going to start with the first one. What are your thoughts on that lashing Murphy got by the Mysterios?
I thought that was pretty funny, but at the same time, they could have lit into him a little bit more. You know, I think they could have put a little more force into it. Like that, not to the point where they did Dominic the first time, not that hard.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they could have put a little more force into it. Even Ray should have. And Ray should know better.
Oh, Ray should have won. Ray should definitely win there.
Yeah, he should have went in, but yeah, I liked it. It was funny, you know.
I like how the mother was like, "No, I can't do it." Then once she got some licks in, it worked. Like the daughter, she was like, "No problem, I'm gonna do it." I mean, it told pretty well. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Yeah. It closed it, and apparently Murphy is not a disciple of Seth Rollins anymore. So hopefully he goes back to his old look, his old music, because they are really, to me, missing the boat on Murphy.
Yeah.
I mean, because the Murphy we see now, we didn't see that when he was with Wesley Blake and Alexa Bliss. We didn't get that Cruiserweight champion Blake. I mean, that Cruiserweight champion Murphy, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're definitely missing out. Personally, and it's just me, I think he needs to go back to NXT. Since he's really not rocking with that run line, to go back to NXT. Go after that Cruiserweight championship.
Yeah.
And then
I agree with you.
We're going to jump to the next question. Thoughts on Cedric Alexander joining the Hurt Business?
You know what? I love that. I saw it coming. I saw it coming a mile away.
Yeah,
it all started with Apollo. Yeah. Yeah. You seen the pictures on social media?
Oh, yeah.
You see them? I mean, he just fits perfect with them. And Cedric can work heel, too. I seen him do it before he came to WWE.
Oh, yeah.
He can work that heel persona. And, you know, it all started with Apollo kind of neglecting him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's what set it off right there. And then I just hated that Ricochet, he was just collateral damage, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so.
Now, here's my thing on that. Now, they got this good thing going, you know, with MVP, Shelton, you know, Bobby, and then they added Cedric. How long you think they're going to last before they break it up?
Oh, my God. Hopefully, I hope this is a long-term thing, but with WWE, you never know. You know, they may get tired of it maybe within the next month, you know, and have Cedric going back to being babyface. You never can tell.
Like I said, he's another one. I definitely was a fan of when he was in Ring of Honor. And he had the CNC Wrestle Factory, then he turned heel, and Vader Scott was his manager.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, his wife, for those who don't know, is Big Swole in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of gave that away shows ago when her and Britt Baker was having a little discussion, and they gave away to each other's husbands and boyfriends.
Oh, yeah, talking about when Dr. Britt Baker was talking about talking about your husband this, and then Big Swole talking about some baby.
Right.
And all that. Yeah.
Now this one we're gonna take it to Impact. Now this is an interesting question. And this one I had to think about a little. Really, I'm not gonna say I had to think about it, but I kind of did at the same time that makes sense. But the question was, is Tommy Dreamer a strong leader for the Impact roster?
As in talking about like leader?
Yeah, for that leader, that go-to guy, the one that's that's gonna push these guys to do better. You know, he's like the veteran.
He is. You know, anybody can work Tommy Dreamer. You know, anybody can work Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer's that guy. Like, you know, if you want a match, I got you. You know, put me with him. Or like, this your first match? Oh, come on. You know, I'll take you on. You know, stuff like that. He just that type of guy. You know, he willing to get you over. So. Right. Yeah.
And then the promos he cut, especially about talent, I mean, you can tell he feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely miss his House of Hardcore shows. I hope he eventually gets that going, because those be having some great matches on them, too. I've seen all the House of Hardcore, but I'd say about 95% of them. And, I mean, all of them been good, because he brings talent from everywhere.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I like to see that too.
Now, here's one you might have to put your thinking cap on this one.
Okay.
What rivalry would you watch run over, past or present?
So it's just one, or I can name two?
You can name as you like.
Okay. The first one I would like to see, of course, is Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. That's my first one.
Okay.
My second one is Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Mm. Okay, so you went left and right. You went old school and new school. Okay.
Yeah, because Johnny and Tommaso was, I was speechless. Every match was good.
When they broke up, when Ciampa turned first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got that chemistry together. But for me, I would say for me, if I had to watch a rivalry over and over again, mine would be Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Dusty and Tully feuding over that world television title, feuding over Baby Doll.
Yeah.
And then you remember that one period when Dusty beat the hell out of Tully with the ball bat and got suspended and came back as the Midnight Rider?
Mm-hmm.
Let me say, Dusty and Tully I mean, you talk about contrast and styles. I mean, in the ring, outside the ring. I mean, they both knew how to rile each other up. To say they didn't like each other, they gave each other a lot of praise.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people going to say, well, how come you ain't said anything as far as Ric Flair? I mean, Ric Flair had rivalries all day. We can do a whole show on his rivalries alone.
Exactly.
And that might actually be a topic that we might do. But we talking about rivalries. I mean, I'll do you another one. Nikita Koloff and Magnum TA when they were doing the best of seven for the U.S. title.
That's a good one. I got one for you. Okay. Junkyard Dog and Butch Reed.
Oh, you took it all the way back on that one.
Because I'm going to tell you how. The first time, of course, in your hometown, they was in Mid-South.
Yeah.
They went at it. And then they actually came to Memphis with the rivalry. They came from Louisiana to Memphis. And actually, on Memphis television, Junkyard Dog got tarred and feathered by Butch Reed.
I remember that.
Yeah. So,
I remember
that. Uh-huh. So that's a good one.
And then another one, somebody probably going to say, what about the Free version of Von Erichs? That's classic. Oh, that's right. That's an obvious one. We talking about that a lot of people may or may not think about, but that's an obvious one. And like I say, anything dealing with Ric Flair was an
obvious. That's a whole show in itself.
Right. That's definitely a whole show in itself. But then we're gonna come back to Memphis.
All right.
And I'm sure you got a good answer for this one. But we didn't talk about, we talked about on the last podcast, we talked about Memphis, you know, wrestling Memphis history. We didn't bring up Bill Dundee. So with mm-hmm. that said, was Bill Dundee underrated?
Very underrated. The matches, with Bill Dundee, the matches that he's known for was against Jerry Lawler. Not only were they tag partners, and won the AWA tag team titles on numerous occasions, but they also had, which if you're a Memphian, you know for yourself that they are considered the greatest rivalry in Memphis wrestling history.
Yeah, Bill Dundee beat Jerry Lawler more than anybody.
Exactly. Them two beat the mess out of each other every single match they had. Yeah, scaffold matches, regular matches, you name it.
And Bill Dundee was not a big dude.
Right.
He won a lot of regional championships. Bill Dundee can work. If you go Bill back,
Dundee, oh, yeah.
he always, I mean, he had the, then he had, in the NWA days, he was wrestling. He was managing Buddy Landell for a minute.
They had the Bill and Buddy show on Memphis TV, and he booked Mid-South for a little while.
Yep, so it did. We talked about pound-for-pound wrestlers. He was definitely it.
Oh, yeah, the dude, he was little, but the man could fight. The man was a scrapper. Now, he didn't let nobody mess with him.
So. We're talking about Bill Dundee. I got to ask this. What were your thoughts on Sir William?
You know, at first, I didn't recognize who that was. I'm used to Bill wearing the boots and the tights and the jackets and stuff. But when I saw him, I kept trying to think to myself, who is that? He looks familiar. And then I said, wait a minute. I looked, I said, that's Bill Dundee. What he doing in WCW? You know?
And I got to ask this question. I mean, you a Memphis guy. You listen to a lot of the Memphis promos. Because, you know, a lot of wrestlers, you know, they always say brother and all this other stuff. Why the Memphis guys always ended with daddy?
But Hanson, well, I think Jimmy Valiant started that. Jimmy Valiant always said daddy every time talking about, well, I'm gonna tell you something, daddy. And you now Jackie Fargo always said Pally. He known for Pally. So that caught on. People said Pally, where Jack Fargo said Pally, but I don't know why they kept saying daddy all the time. I think Jimmy Valiant started
Dundee said it every other word. Like I said, Jimmy made out. I'm like, I said, is that the Memphis word? Is that the what?
Yeah, that was our what back then. That was Jimmy. You can thank Jimmy Valiant for that. You know, Memphis wrestling daddy, have mercy, you know.
He's like, the fucking man. I mean.
Yeah, the boogie woogie.
Now, here's a good one. Now, we talk about thinking caps. What wrestlers, when you watch them, You said that dude is a straight badass.
Oh, we.
I'll let you think about it. For me,
okay.
I would say like Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
And I'll put Vader right behind him. Because if you watch them two dudes fight in Japan, that was money.
Yeah.
And Stan Hansen will beat you up and like it.
Yeah.
He'll beat him up and like it. I'm like, if he didn't beat you up, he didn't do his job.
Right.
Stan Hansen, I mean, he'll get in the ring with the dip in his mouth, cutting promo, the spitting dip everywhere. Don't even take off his chaps and beat you up.
Right.
And then if we talk about crazy, I would have to put Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
On that list. Come dude. Now that dude was crazy. I don't know. I think you went through a lot. Did you go eat at his restaurant?
Actually, I did. It was during WrestleMania weekend. We went to Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Did you get your ribs extra bloody?
No, I didn't get my ribs extra bloody. He was sitting at the front door, though. He greeted you when he came in.
Really?
But I told him, I said, uh-huh. He, when you go in there, he's always right there sitting at the front door greeting you. And I was scared to, you know, get a fork, you know.
Like, you wash these?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying.
I'm like, yeah. You had these forks from 1970s and 80s.
Right. I said, these forks clean? Like, yeah, they clean. He started laughing.
Wow. I'm like, hold on, man. I see Carlos Colon blood on here.
Exactly. Right.
We're gonna bring it back to the current. Now we got the Clash of Champions coming up. And we see Jey Uso, you know, getting a universal title shot against his cousin, you know, Roman Reigns. So the question is, do you see him getting destroyed or do you see him making it a match?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, of course they're gonna have a good match, but then something Roman's gonna tick, you know. He gonna tick somehow. I don't know how, but it's gonna be to the point where, you know, he's gonna go full heel and just beat him down. Something's gonna happen. It'll probably be after the match. But yeah, I see it for both ways.
Okay. I kind of agree with that one.
Yeah.
Let's see, man. We just got questions after questions after we got so many. And keep up with them. But again, definitely appreciate y'all listening to this. Because this is what we do. This is how we have fun. Have fun doing it. But the next question is this. I don't know if we ever asked this. I think we did, but I'm going to ask it again.
Mm-hmm.
You think Bray Wyatt is being buried?
Oh, yeah, we have answered that. Well, I'm going to have to change my answer from last time. I said yes the first time, but I don't think, but after looking at everything and watching stuff, no, I don't think he's being buried. Because being buried is like losing every match that you have and being in stupid, you know, stupid programs with people, you know, and just being humiliated. That's burying.
Right.
You know, so no, I don't see that. Mm-mm.
No, because I mean, they're using him. I mean, they're using him for what he's needed for. I mean, the Firefly Funhouse, love it. Then you can bring the Fiend out. You bring the Fiend out when needed. I don't like him wrestling as Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse version. It just looks weird. I mean, the Fiend is you. So if you're gonna wrestle, especially main event matches, you know, you need to definitely, you know, be the Fiend. I mean that's you made that what it is.
That's right.
But we're gonna get into the final question. And I know you might get excited on this one.
Okay.
But the question was, did Doom end at the right time?
Did
Ron Simmons did they end at the right time? Should they have stayed together longer?
I think they should have stayed together longer, in my opinion. That run they had at Capital Combat 90 when they finally defeat the Steiner Brothers for the NWA Tag Team titles,
Right.
That was a big deal, you know, because they were the first black NWA tag team champion, not the first black tag team champion. They was NWA black, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it was kind of – they could have had a longer run. You know, of course, we all know that, you know, they lost the match to the Freebirds, you know, at WrestleWar 91.
Yep.
And that's when Butch turned on Ron. And that kind of upsetted me as a kid growing up because I didn't like that too much.
Now, but we're going to stay on Doom. Did you like him? Because, see, when they put him under a mask, you had to be a fool to not know who they were. If they was going to mask them up, they should have did a better job.
Right. They could have did something because – and then, you know, they had women with them.
Right.
You know, that was one of my – top, I think they're number one, my favorite tag team at number one. But they could have did a better job with that. But we all knew who it was. You know, even as a kid, I'm like, I know who that is, you know.
Well, see, because Ron Simmons, you know, his body type. If you even look at the man, his body type gave him away. His mannerisms and everything, that gave him away. But yeah, they definitely should have latched on. Now I'm gonna throw another question on there. Let's mm-hmm. say to stick together. Would they have worked in the Attitude Era?
Who was that?
Would Doom work in the Attitude Era? And if so, would we have ever seen the APA?
Oh, no, we wouldn't have seen no APA. Doom would have definitely worked in the Attitude Era. Doom would be running roughshod over those tag teams. No doubt. You got two big dudes. You got Hacksaw Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. Man, them dudes would run through the headbangers. They would run through Kai and Tai.
Oh, they would have ate Kai and Tai. We probably never saw Kai and Tai.
No. I mean, all those tag teams they had, even they would, the only competitive tag team they would have went against was the Road Warriors. Legion of Doom. That them were the only, yeah.
You think that
I say the Legion of Doom, yeah.
You think the Outlaws would have gave a run? Oh, now.
The Outlaws would have.
Let me flip that. Let's say they had a few with DX. Would Doom be a heel?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You can't turn Doom babyface. I'm sorry.
I'm a modify that a little bit. If Doom would have went, would we have seen the Nation?
Maybe. I want to say maybe they could and I think it would have been more of a faction after that. If instead of Ronson, they would have been more of a faction than a tag team. It would have turned them into a faction. So yeah, I see that.
It would have been different.
Yeah,
say, but you just talking about as a tag team. Yeah, we would probably never seen the APA because he was still big. And he was still a badass. Ron Simmons, still a badass. Well, I know we probably never saw Farooq Asad.
No, never. Never saw Farooq Asad. That was terrible.
I mean, what they would have made Butch Reed? They would have turned him into some type of Coming to America gimmicks?
Probably. Probably had him come out to some, coming from some make-believe place in Africa or something like that. They're like Akeem.
I'm like, we still need to find out where exactly is deepest, darkest Africa.
I don't even want to guess that. I know somebody, I had somebody actually ask me that on the podcast. They actually heard us on the podcast and they were talking about where is deepest, darkest Africa. I asked them. One of them said it could have been around Somalia.
Shit, that ain't deep as dark as Africa.
That ain't deep as dark as right.
I'm like, that's what you know. That's what you need to stay your behind out of Africa.
Right. Like in Haiti or something, you know.
Well, I've been to Haiti. I've been to them places. You don't want to go there. That ain't a place for you to visit. But whoever that listen, make sure you tell a friend. See, we got to get this podcast popping. I say, because you're going to always be, you know, my co-host. I know when Boss Man gets back, because like I said, we got a specific show I'm saving just for him when he comes back. But I said, I know I can pick up the phone. I'm like, hey man, I need a co-host. Boom, and you in there. So I definitely appreciate that. And
no problem. Again,
we thank everybody for listening to the Get Snap podcast. I'm about to go watch this football game. I see it already in started, so it's about to head into the second quarter. Houston is up 7-0. I'm about to give me something to eat, and I'm about to chill for the rest of the night. So, with that being said, again, thank you for supporting this podcast. www.snapcustoms.com. Go like the page, share the page. Toy Store by Snap Customs. Like the page, share the page. Tell a friend about this podcast. Let's get this podcast going not only to Germany and Italy. And we want it all over the world. We want everybody to enjoy this show. I mean, you got thoughts about it? Definitely shoot us a message on it. You want to be a guest? Shoot us a message on it. Well, we definitely appreciate this. But until then, I'm going to relax. I know you are too. So this has been the Snap Podcast. Darnell Sparrow, Smooth Operator Antoine Smooth on the other side. And we out of here.
Peace.